in my body and I am their puppet, twisting till I hurt. Dahlias, a Mickey 17 fic, written by Marsh 5000, read by Dr. Fumbles McStupid as Mickey 17.
Mingo Tart reads as Dorothy.
Nasha, read by Nonplussed.
Ilfa, read by Inkling Dancer.
Authority Figure, read by Lego Nerd.
Mickey 18, read by 42 Do Not Panic.
This fic has a rating of teen and up, no archive warnings apply. It has the relationships, established Mickey 17, Nasha Barrage, Mickey 17, Mickey 18, implied Mickey 17, Mickey 18, Nasha Barrage, with the additional tags, post-movie Mickey 17, Hanahaki disease, not just as a manifestation of unrequited love, but also loss, not to say it's not romantic, because it's still death is, flowers as symbolism, grief, mourning, 18's death haunts the narrative, open ending, not beta read. Summary. He lets out a sigh and keeps quiet, burrowing deeper into the soft part of Nasha's stomach and letting her warmth envelop him. Because how do you tell someone that you miss someone else, when that same someone else is also you? Miss them to the point of tearing your throat up, scarring your insides forever and ever. No one said self-love was supposed to hurt. Mickey licks his thumb, flattening one of the stray baby hairs on Nasha's forehead. Thinking for a moment, he makes a small downward gesture, a little swoop so it lays down just perfect above her ear. He gives her a kiss in that same spot before stepping away. "You look perfect," he beams. She does a spin, her red robe swinging about, smiling back at him.
"You say that every day,"
she teases, pulling him down by the chin to lay her own kiss in the space between his eyes, so sweet he could melt. Doesn't mean it's not true, he tells her, before turning away to hide a cough in his elbow. It's the crunchy kind of cough, like his guts want to turn inside out.
Still? They're not overworking you out there in the caves, are they?
Nasha asks, brows furrowing in concern as she circles her arms around his waist, pulling him into her orbit, as if he weren't already. No, he hurries to say, wiping his mouth on his sleeve before patting her forearms reassuringly. His smile is strained. Of course not, and you know how much I like it down there. It's not baking macaroons, sure, but it's fun, he jokes, trying to lighten the mood.
Okay,
she murmurs, still sounding unsure. So he rubs their noses together until she laughs and pushes him off. See you tonight, he says, waving her off at their door, and she blows a kiss his way before turning the corner. Mickey grabs at the air, pretending to catch it, despite Nasha gone and no one else looking, and holds his hand to his chest. He keeps it there for a long moment. Then he goes back inside, closes the door with a firm click of the latch, and takes off his shirt and pants, folding them neatly on the bedside table. He's found out through trial and error that there's less of a mess to clean up if he's wearing as little as possible. Going inside the bathroom and kneeling in the small space in front of the toilet feels more like a ritual the more the days pass. Ignoring the mirror, because that only makes it worse, seeing those eyes staring daggers right back at him. He braces his forearms on both sides of the ceramic and waits. He doesn't have to wait long.
Again!
Nasha laughs, throwing her hand back as they both come back from dinner, her hair let down from its updo and falling in soft braided waves about her shoulders. Shrugging off her robes, she throws them up on a hook before turning to plant a big smooch on Mickey's cheek. He blushes, ducking his head and helping her with the rest of her clothing. It's nothing, he says, face burning and tingling from her casual display of affection. Sometimes it still takes him off guard, the way she'll just do small things like that without thinking. God, what did he do to deserve her?
You don't, 17. That's the fucking thing.
Not nothing. It's been, what, a solid month or two of flowers? What are you guys even growing down there?
Mickey helps her step out of her shoes, a tension on her socked feet while he shrugs, crouched on the floor. You know, vegetables and stuff like that. But every now and then, there's the occasional flower. He looks up at her when he feels a hand combing through his hair. They remind me of... He trails off, choked up all of a sudden, and is more than grateful when all Nasha does is take it in stride and bend down, kissing the corner of his mouth.
Every now and then, huh? Then I must be pretty lucky getting them every day.
She teases him, her breath warming his skin, before pulling back.
Thank you.
Anything for you.
Anything but the fucking truth.
A cruel voice taunts, low in register and curling like smoke around his ears, like a phantom hand twirling his hair and watching him steal a kiss from Nasha before she rights herself back up to standing. They lie in bed together later that night, limbs tangled like a pretzel, and Nasha's elbow jutting uncomfortably into his side. But it's perfect. He'd ask for nothing less. And still, he feels a ghostly sensation creeping over his shoulder, a chin resting on it, the both of them looking adoringly, lovingly, at Nasha's face smushed into the sheets. He slides out from underneath her when he feels the thorns climbing up his throat, the petals clogging up his airway and making it hard to breathe. Goes into the restroom, all sneaky, socked feet barely making a noise on the floor, and ignores the judgmental look in the mirror as he slowly gets to his knees.
You're a fucking pussy, you know that?
Mickey's head hangs low over the toilet, his reflection in the water rippling. His own, or another man's, scowl directed right up at him. I know, Mickey whispers in response to the voice inside his head, before shutting the door with a foot and throwing up. They're black in color, outlined in a pretty dark burgundy, almost fuchsia-esque pink, if held in the light just right. Nasha thinks they're beautiful, putting them in old food containers full of water and placing them around their small room. Mickey's kind of sick of seeing them, his stomach turning at the smell. But after that one time, when he'd forgotten to throw them in the incinerator early in the morning, left on the bathroom sink, thankfully already cleaned of blood, and Nasha had found them. Well, it was easier to just let her keep them. In a way, he was giving a part of himself to her, wasn't he? And she loved every single iteration of him, right from the very beginning up until the very, very end. So 18 deserved to be remembered, and he was just as loved by her and by him, in a weird, twisted way he doesn't really want to dissect. But sometimes, when she comes home late at night and he's been alone with himself too long, the cracks start to show. The ones he tries to tape back together. The creeping dread and existential crisis. The hours spent mourning a part of him he didn't even know he'd missed until it was gone. Mickey didn't, doesn't, want to die. He knows this to be true. It's just not fair that only one of them made it out alive to come to terms with what it really meant to live, to do more than just survive. It took him a long time to learn the difference between the two. Longer than it should have, but still. At least he knows better now.
I miss him too,
Nasha tells him, voice a mere whisper in the silence of their room. She wraps her arms around his neck, cradling his head. His hands find their way to her waist, clinging on tight.
It's okay to miss him, Mickey.
He squeezes his eyes shut. Tell her about the flowers.
Tell her about the goddamn flowers, little bitch.
But he doesn't. Ignores 18's relentless shouting in his head. Instead, he bites his lip and glances up into dark eyes and a downturned mouth and a beautiful face he can't help but worship, both during the day and in his sleep. He lets out a sigh and keeps quiet, burrowing deeper into the soft part of Nasha's stomach and letting her warmth envelop him. Because how do you tell someone that you miss someone else when that same someone else is also you? Miss them to the point of tearing your throat up, scarring your insides forever and ever. No one said self-love was supposed to hurt. What happened? Mickey asks in the corridor right outside the ship's small courthouse, wringing his wrists. Nasha's shoulders are in a tense line, a frown on her face as she leans against the walls with the bottle of water. He doesn't like seeing her so wound up like this.
I can't believe they're still questioning her.
Nasha fumes, taking a big sip and wiping her mouth with a sleeve. Mickey fusses with her robes for a bit, tilting his head to the side to show that he's listening. Ilfa, right? He asks.
Try to use the printer.
And Mickey freezes, breath caught in his throat. He swallows back the flowers curling about his diaphragm with practice.
Something must have went wrong, though.
Mickey blinks. Went wrong? She nods her head, capping the bottle of water before handing it to him.
Yeah,
she starts, sagging against the wall, eyes focused on the open door, showing the other members talking amongst themselves.
They found her all hysterical and messing with the controls. Guess her attempt to resurrect her husband didn't turn out so well. Couldn't even form words. She was just that distraught.
Playing with the bottle's label, Mickey hesitantly asks, And the printer? What happened to it? Nasha turns, the intense gleam in her eyes softening as they focus back on him.
Nothing. It's being kept under lock and key for now. They're planning to save its destruction for a later date.
There's a finger under his chin, urging him to look down. So he does. Firm lips press against his forehead. Reassurance and devotion, and everything in between all at once. In a sigh of her breath against his.
No more printing,
she murmurs against him. A buzzer sounds, and their small recess is over. Nasha gives him one final look before heading back inside to join with the rest, hands flying up to fix her bun back in place. Something Mickey should have done, but, well. He looks down at his hands and picks at his nails, digging at the dirt underneath them. No more printing, he repeats, disappointed for some odd reason. He leans back against the wall like Nasha was just moments earlier, soaking in her leftover warmth and wondering to himself, what did she mean, that the resurrection didn't turn out so well? Nasha? Mickey answers the call, watching in no small amount of confusion as she sets up the hologram to capture her sitting on their bed. Waving at Dorothy, he walks to a more private corner of the underground systems of caves they're currently working in, cupping his hands around Nasha's image as if he were holding her in his hand.
Mickey!
Nasha grins, gap-toothed smile on full display, and he feels himself smiling back, cheeks already flushing in giddy happiness despite the cold. Not that I'm complaining, Mickey starts, lowering his face closer to the tablet as if he could get closer. But why the sudden call?
Just to thank you again for the flowers.
Mickey lets out a small, confused laugh. What do you mean? You thank them for me every night. It's just routine at this point, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but yellow flowers? You're really outdoing yourselves over there, aren't you? Making me feel spoiled getting these for free.
Mickey opens his mouth. He closes it. Yellow flowers? He repeats, before turning around and eyeing the small garden behind him, full of carrots and other similar crops. No flowers, black or yellow, to be seen. He swallows before turning back.
They're so pretty,
Nasha gushes, eyes sparkling even through the hologram. Mickey wants to capture the expression on her face and bottle it up, the way her eyes are crinkled at the corners and her cheeks are pushed up. I'm glad you like them, he tells her.
I love them,
she corrects him. Later on that day, while Nasha's out doing her job and Mickey's on lunch break, he sneaks back to their shared room, standing at the open door, hand still on the handle. He stares in befuddlement at the vase. Where did that come from? On the small table attached to the wall. There a bold, bright yellow with a trumpet-like shape in the center, and that small voice in the back of his head, the one that sounds like him but isn't him, just keeps quiet. Mickey doesn't know what to think about that, any more than he knows what to think about the yellow flowers, the ones he doesn't recall ever throwing up.
Miss Marshall, can you explain what you were trying to achieve back there with the printer? And please, stop plugging your nose with tissues. We can't understand you that well.
What do you think I was trying to do? Isn't it quite obvious? I was trying to bring him back to life!
And by him, you mean Kenneth Marshall?
Of fucking course!
Please don't throw your used tissues at the audience, thank you. And yes, thank you for the clarification. We just needed it for the record. How did that go for you, then?
Horrible. Horrible! The stupid printer wouldn't print without one of those stupid bricks, and the last one on file was from one of those horrid multiples from before the explosion. Oh, the explosion!
So it was a failed attempt, or did the printer still... Miss Marshall? Miss Marshall, ma'am, please calm yourself. Oh, God, okay. Someone get another box of tissues, please.
Dorothy pulls him aside during one of their shared shifts.
Why was Nasha asking me about flowers during lunch earlier?
She asks, translator hooked around her neck and carrying a baby creeper in her arms. It wiggles its arms up at him, and Mickey can't resist petting its head while freaking out on the inside. Moral support, creeper.
What did you tell her?
He stutters.
Well, I didn't say that we didn't grow flowers, and might have gone on a tangent about the science of growing plants here in Ithium, considering the atmospheric pressure and the moisture and all that good stuff.
Mickey just shifts his weight from one foot to another. Dorothy sighs, rolling her eyes.
I lied to her, Mickey. Technically, by omission, but it still counts. So, you're throwing up flowers, huh?
She holds up her free hand.
Don't give me that surprised look. It's actually really rather obvious when you put all the pieces together.
He lets out a breath, leaning back against the cave wall behind him, and feeling his entire body sagging with the weight of the planet.
But Mickey,
she says, letting the creeper crawl into his arms so she can put both hands on her hips.
It's not good to bottle your emotions up, especially something like this.
Letting the creeper tuck itself into the hollow of his throat, its small puffs of air tickling at the underside of his chin, he bites at the inside of his cheek, tasting iron and spit. Course, he replies after a moment, ignoring the raised eyebrow thrown his way for the hesitation. But I got a question for you. Just an itty-bitty one, if you don't mind.
Shoot.
Well, is it possible to throw up two different kinds of flowers? Just throwing the hypothetical out there. Dorothy rubs at her chin, looking off into the distance in thought.
Don't think so.
She starts.
It's a pretty rare disease, so there's not much research, but it's usually one flower for a reason, a flower that encapsulates that person.
And here there's a knowing look in her eyes, something he shies away from.
In both mind and body, two flowers might be pushing it.
She shrugs her shoulders. Oh, Mickey lets out, putting the creeper down on the ground and watching as it condenses into a ball. He nudges it with a foot, watching in detached interest as it rolls away from the both of them back to the rest of the science team tinkering away on the grass.
Weird question,
Dorothy says pointedly. All Mickey can do is look away, putting his hands in his pockets. Just a hypothetical, he repeats. Nasha greets him with a hug and a kiss smack dab on his lips, and he almost falls backward from the intensity of it all. Hands resting on her waist, he smiles, stealing one last peck before pulling back. What's the news?
The expendable program is abolished!
Nasha gushes, her hands playing with the hairs on the back of his neck. She ducks her head, resting her forehead on his shoulder.
And the printer's finally getting destroyed. They're planning to make it a big old celebration.
Mickey blinks, gaze going unfocused as he processes the tide of information thrown his way. His hands squeeze at the hem of Nasha's robes. That's good, he breathes into her hair.
I'm so happy for you, Mickey.
Nasha whispers into his ear, warm and damp, and he hugs her tighter to his body, to the point where he can't tell anymore whose chest is breathing into whose. He's supposed to be happy. That's right. This means the end of an era, the end of a 4-year-long journey full of suffering, death, and rebirth. No more bricks, and no more needles poking into his arms, and no more draining his blood. No more connections to all those other dead Mickeys, their recycled souls floating somewhere off in space. No more ghosts haunting his thoughts. No more grief. He's supposed to be happy. So, why isn't he? That night, coming back from a celebratory dinner, they share a chaste kiss before changing into night clothes. They sleep wrapped around one another, arms and legs hooked, in a bed smelling of pollen and petals and unrequited love. A different kind of mourning, but mourning all the same. Because 18 died. And next week, the printer will be destroyed. In an explosion, just like him. That's kind of poetic, right? Mickey stares at the ceiling, combing a hand through Nasha's hair, and untangling the knots while she snores into the crook of his neck. He turns his head to the side, to the toilet cleaned of puke and blood, to his washed flowers resting on a towel on top of the sink. In the morning, he'll cut off the thorns with a pair of scissors tomorrow, arrange them all nice for her to come back to after work, affection bundled up in hidden pain, and a shameful yearning for another part of himself. Not that she knows about all that, but still. Then he turns his head further and looks at the yellow flowers. Not his, not his, not his. Sitting idle on the nightstand, looking out of place. Nasha curls further around him in her sleep, hand sneaking up his shirt for warmth, while Mickey just keeps staring. He breathes in the smell of her sweat, of her shampoo, and doesn't blink for a long time. Because 18 died. But he's also not dead, dead. This, with a gut-wrenching feeling and a tickle in his throat, daffodils staring ominously, hopefully, at him. Mickey also knows to be true.
It says here in the files that something did, in fact, print out. Care to elaborate on that, Miss Marshall? Once again, please unplug the tissues from your nose so we can better hear you. Thank you.
It didn't print out right.
It didn't print out right. It was a stupid mistake, okay? Goddamn, stop asking me so many questions and let a woman mourn her husband in peace.
Can you define didn't print out right for us?
It didn't print my husband, that's for sure. Fuck off! When's this stupid case over? I'm just gonna... Excuse me, let me off this podium!
Security, she's making another run for it. Yeah, use the tasers if she starts getting physical again. Meeting adjourned.
The end.
Without roots, like knives in my body, and I am their puppet, twisting till I hurt. My love is sick, I'm running a fever so high, I peel my skin to breathe. Birds without cages find on my ribs and I stitch myself back up to keep them. You're an infection, I am keeping, no matter sepsis. Yeah.
they keep